All right. Every year about this time, you know, we kind of look with the same feeling of anticipation to see what our kids are going to bring to us today. And so the kids are getting ready to present the 2015 Christmas program. And we are going to be looking forward to that. One of the themes that you'll see running throughout their presentation is hashtag. Now, those of you who are not on social media and have no regard for or anything technical, computer, you know, you might see this thing that looks like a number sign and you're like, what's that? Well, there are some technical things that you can go into in explaining a hashtag, but a hashtag is typically something that you would tag at the end of a post on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, and it helps people search different terms. But what we've kind of done with that, you know, you just do everything hashtag. You know, today, welcome to Reynoldsburg Church of Christ, hashtag ugly sweater day. Okay, that's that kind of what we would do. Now, I want you to pay attention to those hashtags throughout the program because they serve a purpose. So we want you to practice. So we gave you some sample hashtags, like for instance, hashtag the king of acrostics. That would be referring to who? John Hess. Very good. Very good. Okay. Next one. Hashtag I have more holes in one than you do. That would be who? Bob Swaghammer, right? Very good. Here's one. Hashtag she makes taco soup for the sick. Kim Johnson. Very good. Very good. Now, okay, y'all struggle with a couple of them. I'm going to give you an easy one right now. Hashtag dark and lovely. Very good. Very good. Very good. All right. Hey, dark and lovely is in the Bible. I'm trying to tell y'all. Song of Solomon 1:5. Song of Solomon 1:5. That's biblical. That's biblical. All right. I'm going to pass it over to Shannon and Olivia, and we will begin.
All right. Good morning. We have our Christmas play for you. The kids have been working very hard. And based on all the things going wrong, Satan is working very hard, too. So we are going to be patient, and this is all going to be wonderful. The kids really have put a lot of hard work into this. And every year I am amazed at how when I start to feel a little bit down about the play or feeling frustrated or how's it going to come together, God always provides something. And this year our theme is looking at Jesus and Herod. And about 2 weeks ago, a former Children's Church play veteran posted on her Facebook page something that I thought was just perfect, and it was Tori Garrett. If you guys remember Jeff Garrett, it's his middle daughter. And so we have Allison, who is going to read something that Tori had posted the other day. And so Allison is going to be Tori in this. So this would be hashtag train them upright, hashtag living her life for the Lord.
In the story of the birth of Jesus, I am Herod. I was the king of my life. I made the decisions between what was right and wrong. I ruled unwisely. I was self-serving. Then a new king comes to town. Get rid of him, I say. I know better. I'm the Lord of my life. How dare he try and dethrone me? But yet, somehow, through all this selfishness, God sent his son for King Tori and broke me. Wounded me like a surgeon so I could accept this wise, loving, and sacrificial king who will reign forever. That's a Christmas miracle. Praise be to the king.
Now it is time to let our kids help tell us the story of Jesus' birth. Hashtag away in the manger. Hashtag the greatest story ever told. Hashtag my roommate stinks. Hashtag there's a sheep in my bedroom. Hashtag let me come to him. Me. Wait.
Them come to you.
Yep. Sorry.
It was about that same time.
Thank you.
It was about that same time that Caesar Augustus sent out an order to all people in Roman countries that were under Roman rule. The order said that everyone's name must be put on a list. Everyone traveled to their own hometowns to have their name put on the list.
So Joseph left Nazareth, a town in Galilee, and went to the town of Bethlehem in Judea. It was known as the town of David. Joseph went there because he was from the family of David. Joseph registered with Mary because she was engaged to marry him.
While Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have a baby. She gave birth to her first son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. She put him there because there was no room in the inn.
That night, some shepherds were out in the fields near Bethlehem watching their sheep. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord was shining around them. The shepherds were very afraid. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I have some very good news for you, news that will make everyone happy. Today your Savior was born in David's town. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is how you will know him. You will find a baby wrapped in pieces of cloth and lying in a manger." Then a huge army of angels from heaven joined the first angel, and they were all praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men." The angels left the shepherds and went back to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this great event the Lord has told us about."
So they went running and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. When they saw the baby, they told what the angels said about this child. Everyone was surprised when they heard what the shepherds told them. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds went back to their sheep, praising God and thanking him for everything they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them.
Julia,
Lily,
James.
Yeah.
For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6.
Allison, Kathleen. Rachel.
Hold it. Hold it all by myself.
Kate!
Who was that?
I don't know.
Which one was that?
Who?
I bet you was that cute cow. Oh.
What?
This is Kylie.
It's kind of like giving me.
Good job, Children's Church kids. And now we have the privilege of watching our signers perform Silent Night. Hashtag silent moves, hashtag quietly honor our Savior.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Tender and mild. is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face.
Great job, girls. As usual, that was excellent. And now we have the special privilege of peeking in on two of Herod's wives. Hashtag laundry talk, hashtag where are the servants, hashtag separate the lights from the darks, and hashtag two very different kings.
What did Herod get in this? I told him to stop drinking red wine and these white clothes.
This is very boring and exhausting. You'd think the wives of the king would not have to wash the clothes.
Yeah. Remember what happened to wife seven? She wasn't quite so lucky when she decided not to wash the clothes. Have you heard about this Jesus guy?
Yeah. I think I like him better than Herod, you know, as a person, a king.
Think about what you're saying. Look at Herod's stature, his armor, and his sword. But no one is stronger than Herod in this kingdom. And don't forget all that silver and gold. Of course, he hasn't spent any on us.
Well, Jesus may not be all that rich, but he is compassionate and giving. Last night, a group of men lowered this man down through a roof to be close to Jesus. He healed the man so that he could walk.
Hello. Look around you. See what Herod has built for the entire kingdom. The city walls provide great protection and safety for all of us.
Jesus is from a carpenter family. He doesn't have a house to live in, but he is building a spiritual kingdom.
Whatever. What about his friends? You know, who does he hang out with? Herod has the greatest of friends. All the centurions and governors want to be in his presence.
Well, Jesus is kind of all. In fact, the other day, he saved a woman that was about to be stoned, and everyone, regardless of their importance, wants to be around Jesus.
Really?
Jesus brings eternal life to all that obey and share his love. What has Herod done to bring salvation to the world?
That's easy. Yeah. Wait.
Looks like Jesus has the last word on this one.
All right, good job, boys, or ladies. That was really informative, and actually, did you know that to the ancient leader Herod, not Jesus, would have been the picture of greatness, born of noble birth, leader of armies, He was so politically skilled that he held onto his throne for 40 years, even persuading Caesar Augustus to retain him after he had backed Caesar's mortal enemy, Mark Antony.
H, highly regarded by the Roman Senate.
The Senate actually gave Herod the title King of the Jews.
E, erected massive stone temples that stood 2,000 years later.
He was the greatest builder of his day.
R, rewarded his friends and punished his enemies.
He cowered before no one. He had 10 to 11 wives. He questioned the actions of the only wife he truly loved, and had her executed along with her mother, two brothers, and two sons.
O, ordered the death of all boys in Bethlehem under 2 years old. D, dominion was only over earthly things.
Herod was considered by Rome the most effective ruler over Israel the empire ever had. We are so used to seeing Herod as the villain of the Christmas story, but in his day, he would have been considered great by many, especially those whose opinions mattered most. How greatness came to look different to the world is part of what the story is about. No one knew it yet, but the ancient system of dignity was about to collapse.
J, Jewish carpenter.
Nothing he built with his hands was known to endure.
E, entered the world with no dignity in a barn surrounded by animals. S, shared meals with enemies and sinners.
This would not have been a compliment.
U, unexpected king. S, salvation solution for sinners for all eternity.
The lives of Jesus and Herod intersect when the wise men from the east ask about where they can find the King of the Jews. Herod did not take kindly to this and was ready to fix the situation with his power and authority. Hashtag all is not calm, hashtag not so silent night.
Thank you.
Our Savior was safe in Egypt and will triumph in God's plan to restore dignity to each of us. His desire is for us to know that we have worth, to know that we have value, so much that, in fact, that he was willing to die for us. We have a few of our teens who are willing to be vulnerable enough to share a personal story about finding their worth and their value.
Freshman year was tough for me. I struggled to know who I really wanted to be, to just be myself. I tried too hard to fit in with the norm, and my relationship with God wasn't very strong. Some of this carried over to sophomore year as well. But around midway through, things started to change for the better. Winterfest really turned it around for me, and that played the biggest role. It was also the time when I started talking and making friends with the right people, Christian people. I felt so much confidence in myself and with my relationship with God, and I realized I wanted to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I'm thankful so much for this part of my life. It helped me realize what's truly important in this crazy world, and that's God. I feel like my honor has been restored.
Thank you, Mark. I am sharing the testimony of Eric. Eric is my son. He's 16 years old, so try to imagine a 16-year-old standing here. He wrote this. When I think about Jesus, I think of someone who improves the lives of everyone he interacts with and leaves them better off than they were before. A way that Jesus can do this is by restoring someone's dignity, helping them restore self-respect and confidence. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full." The devil tries every way he can to rob us of our dignity, because without it, we cannot move forward and live life to the fullest, as Jesus says. Living without dignity can be overwhelming, and you can feel like you are losing control of your life. I felt like this in the sixth grade. With the transition into middle school, I started to become obsessed with how others saw me. I became much more self-conscious, and with contentedness, happiness, all of that drained out of my life. My obsessiveness wouldn't let it go, but thankfully, God put people in my life that cared enough to help me work this out. Seeing people like my mom give up their time for me helped me overcome the struggle and regain my dignity. Without it, you feel like no one understands you, but God's love is always waiting. We just have to take the first step.
My life was a struggle when I was little. So many things happened. When I was about 3 or 4, I felt like nobody was there for me. And I felt hopeless and sad. I felt hopeless because I felt like nothing would take away the pain I had. The pain I was about not having anything, especially things that would make me smile for at least one day. I felt like I didn't even have anyone to take care of me. When I was young, my dad was shot 9 times on his leg. That night, I was sick. My mom wasn't there for us to take care of us. It was a hard time for my whole family. My family and I went through so much. We were always sad. We didn't have the money to take care of ourselves or a good place to live. My life was harder. I used to do some things that were bad, and I had to beg for food. I felt like my life was nothing and felt like nobody wanted me to be around. When Erica and I took care of ourselves. At the time, we didn't know what the church or Jesus was really about. That really made me sad that our lives were so hard. We didn't know how to make it better. I had no dignity. I didn't even know what dignity was. I went to my first orphanage when I was about 4 or 5. My sisters and my brother were with me in the orphanage. I got a little bit of hope because I felt like I was getting a second chance, but I was wrong. That's when I heard that my dad didn't want us kids, and I started separating from each other. I was the one with my sister. Her name was Erica. She was the only one I got to stay with. That made me sad. We went to a second orphanage when I was 6. Then they took good care of us, but I still miss my family. Things started to change for me. My sister and I went to California to visit an American family, but then they weren't the right family for us. Then we went back to Colombia, and we went back to the normal life of living in an orphanage. Things started out good because I started learning about God and actually got to learn about the church too. And then I got baptized. I started praying to God and asking him for help. Erica was having a hard time living in the orphanage, and then she ran away, and she left me there. I was so confused because all these things were happening to me and my family, but I really didn't understand why until I heard that God has a plan for us. I prayed to God to give me a second chance of life with a family, and that's when I came to Ohio and got to meet a wonderful family. My mom and dad and sisters took me in as one of them, and my life has changed ever since. I have people here that care about me and want the best for me. I got to know more about who God is and what he does for us. I also learned that what it means to go through from having nothing to having everything I need. I want you to think about your lives and have changed when let God take control. I ask him to take care of you. I have learned to tell people my story instead of keeping it to myself. I have been praying to God to make me a better person. I know that we aren't all perfect and that we all make mistakes. God gave me dignity, and I hope that I could have a good life.
Compose. Okay. All right. That was powerful. Let's give our children another hand. And, oh man. From all the little readers, where at one point I thought I was watching the Charlie Brown Christmas movie, because that sounded just like Linus was reading, and then there were shepherds, and so that was powerful, and the animals and everything, and the testimonies, and you should know that Herod's wives, the actors that portrayed Herod's wives, Trevor and Jack, they actually wrote, produced, directed that whole thing. That was all them. And never ceases to amaze me what happens when we give ourselves an opportunity to see what God has gifted us with, and we put that on display in a way that's encouraging and strengthening to the body. So thank you, angels, for giving us a message this year, and thank you, angels, for giving us messages throughout the year, not just at this time. It's important that we understand that God speaks through our kids. Amen. It's okay to understand that sometimes God gives his word to kids to give to us, because sometimes us adults, we just don't get it. And that's why Jesus says over and over again in his ministry, unless you become like little children, there's something about a child's ability to grasp a concept that we as adults tend to just make it more difficult, more complicated. The Christmas story, the season of Advent, of the first Advent, was a season that we have talked about, what was marked with great anticipation for Messiah to come and to rescue the people from the oppression that they were experiencing. And part of the story that often gets, undertold, is this idea that at the time of Jesus' birth, there was a mass infant genocide going on. There were families who lost their babies because King Herod was obsessed with finding this king and enacting his rage of their dare being a competitor to his or threat to his throne. And I think sometimes it's important for us to understand that the context in which Jesus was born was a context of terror. Have y'all heard about terror? Have y'all heard about that lately or recently? We're in a context of terror, and sometimes we will sit back and say, man, it's never been like this. No, it's been like that throughout centuries. And the moment that we speak of and the moment that we focus on right now, when Jesus was born, it was during a reign of terror. And understand that it was in that context that the angels came and said, peace on earth and goodwill to all men. Yes, the message of Christ and the message of God and his plan of salvation was introduced during a reign of terror. And listen to the testimonies of these teens, where the presence of Christ is here to establish worth. It's here to eradicate self-doubt. It's here to give us purpose. It's here to give us dignity. And Mark and Eric, didn't Eric have a deep voice? Mark and Eric and Francie, thank you so much for sharing your personal stories of how the presence of Christ impacted your life and has given you purpose and dignity and worth, true worth, not that worth that comes from trying to be popular at school or being part of the mainstream, but true worth and true dignity and true purpose. So once again, let's praise God and thank God for our children and giving us that message of dignity, purpose, and worth. We will extend at this moment a brief time. If there's something that was said or spoken, or you reminded of something that impacted you or something that prompted in you right now, a response where you want to share with the body, or there's a need that you have that you want to share with the body, or maybe you like these three teens that gave these wonderful testimonies, you've been impacted by the message of God, the message of Christ, and you want to respond accordingly by placing your faith in Him, being baptized into Jesus Christ, as Mark and Francie and Eric, all three of those kids were, they gave their lives to Jesus Christ and committed to Jesus Christ through faith and confession and repentance and baptism. If you want to participate in that ministry, we certainly will give you that opportunity. So let's stand and we'll sing this song. And if you need desires or you desire prayers, come forward. I ask some of the shepherds to come forward and we will receive your need.